I love walking through graveyards. It might sound a little bit odd, but hear me out. I find them fascinating. I like the variety of gravestones. I like to read the inscriptions that are on there. I'm curious when someone's life was short, and I'm equally curious when someone's life was long. I wonder what the quotes or the symbols or the monuments meant to the person who died. Do they mind if I walk on top of their resting place? Why is this one so well tended and this one not? I even enjoy some of the more macabre thoughts, like, what's in that mausoleum? What does the inside of a crypt look like? They're usually locked, but I'm still curious. I also like seeing famous graves and graveyards on hillsides with chaotic or organized dots of headstones representing the generations of people that are buried there. One of the most incredible ones I have ever seen is the Jewish cemetery on the Mount of Olives. From a distance, you can't see anything precise. It's just this massive swath of white stone on this heat-darkened desert earth. But when you get up close, it's even more stunning. There are rows upon rows of above-ground tombs and graves. It's a necropolis, a city of the dead that stretches on as far as your eye can see in each direction. And each and every single one of those tombs is pointing toward the Temple Mount, where just across the Kidron Valley lies Jerusalem. Everybody in there is waiting for the Messiah, waiting for this call to rise up, to move their long, stiff, and lifeless limbs and descend back to the face of the earth. And then to think that in each graveyard, each scattered ash, each box of bones, all around the world, that it's coming back to life, ready to greet the Messiah too. And yet, for all of this awe that I feel, my first thoughts of what this resurrection looks like are not necessarily hopeful or even religious. Actually, they're kind of far from that. I picture a horror movie, a zombie movie to be exact, with arms kind of clawing their way through the dirt to see the light of day. Maybe hidden away in the earth or a tomb, resurrection is like Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones. Bone and dust, the end points of decomposition start to rattle and shake, and bones connect, then sinews, then finally skin shrouds the new bodies. But Ezekiel notices there's no breath in them. Just imagine it, standing at a distance, watching this desolate valley of dry bones come to life. For bones to start moving and then looking like a human again. But then it stops short. There is flesh, there is movement, but there's no breath or spirit or soul in them. This massive throng of people slowly crowding each other out of the valley, walking with no purpose, aimlessly and mindlessly. God brings the dead to life, but before they are fully alive, before they're truly human, God must breathe on them and give them spirit. Without it, they're animated, but they're not really living. Another word for that is a zombie. Fortunately, though, you don't have to take my word for it. According to the Zombie Research Society, which is, yes, apparently a real thing, a zombie is a biologically definable, animated being occupying a human corpse. Zombies don't think. They don't care. They just act. And they only act for their own desires. They don't care at all if another zombie lives or dies. They don't care for one another. You're never going to see a zombie hospital pop up somewhere. They just don't care, period. I think that's what makes them so unsettling. They look human, but something very essential is missing. And if we're being honest, that's not just fiction. There are ways of moving through the world where people are technically alive. They may be busy, they may be productive, they may be getting things done, but they're disconnected. They're unconcerned. They're turned inward. A life focused only on ourselves, a life driven by consumption, a life without compassion, a life without spirit. And that is not the life that God intends for us. Because what makes us truly human is not just that we move, but it's what we love. That we are connected, that we are animated by the very breath of God. I don't think it takes very long for us to look out at the world and start to see that we are actually surrounded by zombies. People that are animate, but uncaring. I'm sure we can all think of examples. But thankfully, God doesn't stop there with Ezekiel. There is one more prophecy, the breath or the spirit. The final act that took Adam from a lifeless ball of clay in Genesis to the first human. God breathed out God's spirit, and they were filled and were alive. God declares through the prophet, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. I think we can be tempted to look at a story like this with its multitudes and its oddities and find it hard to place ourselves in it. Are you ever burnt out? Or to paraphrase Ezekiel, are your bones ever dried up? Is your hope ever lost? Do you feel cut off from one another, maybe even from yourself or from God? I think each of us, at some point, are those dry bones. And we all have the potential to become self-centered zombies as well. But God has other plans. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. The good news is that we don't have to wait. There is no need for us to wither and die and be resurrected before we can experience true and full life. We have opportunities to live and love more dearly and fully each day. Now, within some traditions in Judaism, there is a tradition to recite a prayer upon waking each day. And why? Because they would say, each morning we are thankful to be alive, and we rededicate ourselves to bettering ourselves and our community. It is often some variation of this. I give thanks to you, living and everlasting God, for you have restored my soul or breath with mercy. Great is your faithfulness. Each morning, as our unthinking but animate bodies rouse from the darkness of sleep, God breathes a fresh breath into us. With that breath is a new chance to turn from selfishness to generosity, from seeking our own desires to caring for those around us, for living not just for ourselves. Each day is a new opportunity to live. What will you do with that?